CBSSports.com NBA Facts and Rumors Podcast. I'm Matt Moore. Joining me on this edition is Michael Lee of the Washington Post, covers the Wizards for the Washington Post. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So, want to go ahead and get right into it. You know, everyone's talking, of course, about Gilbert Arenas again, and his latest gaffe being lying to Flip Saunders about an injury in order to get Nick Young some playing time, as if that's going to help him actually, you know, break more into Saunders' rotation. From your perception, what do you think the relationship is right now between Saunders and Arenas? Is there a trust there? Has it been damaged? What's kind of the situation there from your perspective?
I don't know if the trust has been damaged to the point that it's not ever going to be, you know, that he's ever going to recover from it. I think that Flip is starting to understand what it is to coach Gilbert Arenas, you know. It's one thing to hear, you know, from maybe Eddie Jordan or talk to other people about, you know, how unpredictable Gilbert is and how, you know, you just kind of have to deal with some things with him and how he goes about doing his business. But I think that, you know, if last year, if Flip can come back from last year and still want to coach Gilbert and still say positive things about him and still, you know, want to, you know, have him around and be a part of this team, then I think that, you know, anything else, you know, nothing on top will happen last year. So this is just something else. You brush it under and you keep going, you know, and keep moving. So I don't think this is like the backbreaker for their relationship. I think they know they need each other to be successful. And I think that they'll move on from this.
I read a quote where Saunders kind of expressed a level of disappointment, which I thought was probably accurate, where, you know, Flip doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to, you know, blow up and get angry. He's not going to, you know, flip out and get in anything in the media. It was more that I think that he had worked so hard to try and reincorporate Gilbert back into the team and to extend that kind of olive branch and to kind of, you know, get over what happened last year and move forward. And then to have this happen, you know, from that perspective, would you think that, Saunders, does that influence going forward in terms of whether Saunders is committed to Gilbert for the rest of the season? Or do you think it's mostly a matter of, you know, if ownership decides to move him, then that's how it is and Saunders really isn't going to be affected by that?
Well, I think Flip kind of explained it too in that same, you know, interview when you quoted earlier. I think he said it's kind of like your kids where, you know, they make a mistake and they do something wrong. You're disappointed in them, but you don't love them any less. You still deal with them. And I think with this situation, you know, Flip is obviously disappointed that Gilbert would go to that measure. I mean, because I think that when you think about being a veteran and maybe just requesting a night off, you could have easily done that and it wouldn't have been a problem. But I think when you go to the part of actually, you know, lying or being deceptive about it, I think that's where the disappointment comes in. I think he probably would have easily given him a night off as he usually gives vets, you know, in the preseason. So I think that in that situation, he probably more disappointed that he went to that measure to try to help out Nick. And you know, I think overall, when you look at what Gilbert thought he was doing in his mind, he's rationalizing that it made a lot of sense. You know, he wanted to look out for Nick. He wanted to give him a chance. I mean, at the end of the day, Flip's going to play who he wants to play. And Nick has to prove, you know, more than just by getting minutes. He has to prove he can do other things on the floor in the time that he gets. So, but I think overall, Flip, you know, understands that Gilbert is a part of the team. With his contract, he's not going anywhere. And he still was able to produce 7 last year. So when you have all those factors in the play, you know, he's going to need Gilbert. So you don't want to just completely lose him together by just, you know, being hard on him or, you know, going over the top in terms of punishment. I think the fine is sufficient. It's a preseason game, you move on, and you hope that he's able to produce in the regular season.
It was sad to me that this kind of occurred because of the fact that I was actually impressed on the preseason stuff I've seen, because it really looks like Arenas is not just committed to Wall in terms of what he said in the press, which is a good step forward, but also on the court. Like, I had a lot of concerns going in about Arenas and his usage, about whether or not he'd be able to adapt to an off-ball role. I mean, everyone talks about the year with Larry Hughes, but that was, you know, half a decade ago. It was a long time ago, and Arenas has had the ball so much since then, but it really has appeared to me like he's integrating that. Has there been a lot of discussion about that? Is that something people have noted? Have you noticed that Arenas does look like he's going to be able to adapt to that off-ball role more?
Well, I think that the one thing is and I've talked to Gilbert about this. We had a pretty long conversation during the preseason about how he is upset by the perception that he needs to dominate the ball to be effective. And I've said it to him. He said it to me. We both kind of agree that, you know, if you look at his whole career from high school to now, the time that he dominated the ball was really a 3-year stretch when he had to team up with Jerry Jeffries and Deshaun Stevenson. That's when he became a star, and that's when a lot of people began to recognize exactly what he is as a player. But if you look at him at Arizona, he played off the ball there, and he led the team in scoring, and he was somebody who was very efficient at shooting. You know, the question when he came into the league was, can this guy play point guard? You know, and he's a shooting guard, and now they're making him turn into a point guard. And he had to learn how to play point, you know, in Gold State, and he turned out to be a star. He was effective. And then, of course, he knows how to dribble. He knows how to make plays, so he obviously was able to become a star as a point guard. But I think in the preseason, playing with John Wall, he's been very effective playing off the ball, and he's also taking better shots. You know, he was shooting 50% from the floor, and, you know, he wasn't really doing a lot of that herky-jerky kind of wasted motion stuff that he would do to try to get to the basket. You know, now he gets it. He knows that he can shoot. And the thing is Gilbert is a great shooter. And, you know, I think that a lot of times his shooting percentages were low because he was such a high-volume shooter. And I think that he's actually going to enjoy being in a position where he doesn't have to make all the decisions out there on the floor, you know. And I think that he even joked about it, you know, that he actually likes this because he doesn't have to worry about passing anymore. So
right.
This may actually work out for him.
So let's kind of transition and talk a little bit about John Wall. I've been high on Wall since last year. I was pretty much obsessed with him at Kentucky and said that if there's any question about him being number one, that it should be insane. And then when the Wizards got him, I was like, you know, concerned because of Arenas. But I said, you know, you've got to take Wall because of the talent that he is. You know, he's come in. He's already averaging a high number of assists. It's just preseason, but it's what he's showing and how he's showing how to do it that's been impressive. There was some discussion with some other media members, including Mike Prada of Bullets Forever, talking about how his assist numbers may not be that high because of the number of volume shooters and high usage guys that are on the floor for the Wizards with Andre Blatch and Arenas and others. But it looks like Wall is really setting up to be, you know, the Wizards kind of struggled last year being an efficient squad. It looks like with Wall running things, that they've got a chance for all those players to actually perform better in terms of efficiency because he's going to put them in better positions. What have you seen from Wall early on that's impressed you?
Well, one thing is just his command of the floor. I mean, he's a really smart player out there, and he knows where everybody's supposed to be. And if they're not where they're supposed to be, he will yell and scream to make sure they are in the right spot. And I think that's one thing that this team hasn't had in terms of, you know, being a point guard who knows how to make decisions and knows how to get guys to where they can actually, you know, make shots. And I think that's the one thing. When you have a lot of high, you know, usage players, you know, sometimes it's because they get the ball in areas where they're not supposed to get it. And then they wind up working to do things that are probably out of their nature, and they take tough shots. But when you have John Wall on the floor, a point guard who can get to the basket, you know, essentially at will because he's just so fast, he's going to make sure that he gets the ball to the guy, you know, where they can be effective. And I think that's what I've seen throughout the preseason. John is looking for guys and trying to set them up so that they don't have to work so hard to get their shots off. You know, sometimes guys fall into old habits. Maybe, you know, Andre may take a few too many dribbles or put his head down and try to go to the basket. And I think that, you know, John's trying to make sure that, hey, we swing the ball, you know, we get open looks for people and we take easier shots. And I think that type of leadership has really been contagious. You know, he's the youngest player on the court, but he has so much confidence in what everyone's supposed to do and what he can do out there. And I think everyone kind of feeds in. I think the other thing that kind of impressed me about John so far is his enthusiasm when he gets another teammate a shot. You know, when he can get that assist, you'll see him react, you know, in a way as if he scored himself. You know, like he'll kick his feet out. He'll hoot and holler. I mean, you know, his first game in Dallas, you know, he threw an alley-oop to JaVale McGee, which was really insane. And, you know, when JaVale came down for the dunk, he's looking at the bench and, you know, just screaming and yelling, you know, like, you know, they won NCAA tournament. I mean, it was a lot of emotion just from him when he knows that he did a good job of setting his teammates up.
Do you get the sense that the team trusts him? to this agreement. He's a rookie coming in, and obviously, I think it's a matter of his talent kind of showing them that they need to. But you've got a lot of egos in that squad. You've got, you know, even with as much as they blew their team up last year, you still do have Arenas. You've got Andre Blatch, who obviously thinks pretty highly of his game. I think McGee is probably just thrilled to have a guy there that's willing to throw oops to him. But do you get the sense that the team trusts him and kind of invests in is going to be able to take that leadership from a guy that young?
Well, I think the way the hierarchy is being established, they have no choice. I mean, they know that this is who the franchise is being built around. They know that he's the number one pick, and that it's going to, you know, your future with the organization is going to be determined by how you fit with him, and not the other way around. I mean, he's not going anywhere. He's who this franchise is going to be built around. When they drafted him, you know, Ernie Grunfeld said this is somebody we want to have, you know, as a building block for 10 to 12 years. So, you know, they're coming right away and saying this is our franchise. So if anybody has a problem with them or they don't trust them, you know, they might not be around very long. I mean, this is the position that he's in already, and it's a lot to have to put in the hands of a guy who arrived as a teenager and now just turned 20. But I think he's got a pretty steady head, and the fact that he is an unselfish player out there and he's trying to set guys up, I think everybody knows that his motivation is to win games. And until they see something different, until they see maybe he's just trying to collect stats or go for his, then I think they're gonna fall in line. But so far, that hasn't been the case. So far, he's been trying to win games.
And the two knocks on Wall coming into his professional career were his field goal percentage and turnovers. Now, field goal percentage, I think, is a little bit overblown. One, because almost all rookies struggle with field goal percentage in their first year. Two is the fact that those that are worried about that are they're basically going off of, oh, well, he's a Calipari rookie, so he's going to want to shoot a lot, which hasn't been Wall's game at all, and that wasn't how he was last year. Just not his game. He's very much focused on assists, and his vision is probably his best asset outside of his outright speed. The turnovers are, of course, going to be a question because he's going to have the ball so much. You know, do you feel like the turnovers are just one of the things that the Wizards are going to have to live with, or can you see Wall improving in that area and having those turnovers decrease as the season goes on to get to acceptable levels?
Well, I think there are certain assists. You know, it all depends on how the turnovers are created. You know, if he's making lazy passes, if he's, you know, trying to get the ball to guys in bad areas, if he's making just poor decisions, I think that's a concern. But I think when you have a point guard who has the ball in his hands a lot, you're going to have a lot of turnovers. If you look at every point guard that has the ball in his hands a lot, they lead them. I mean, Steve Nash is one of the league leaders in turnovers every single year, but I don't think anybody's going to be crying about the fact he's committing turnovers. And, you know, Flip talked about it recently that if he's going to have anybody committing turnovers, he'd rather have it be his point guard than, say, JaVale McGee or Andre Blatch, you know, one of the forwards, you know, in the low post, you know, from making poor passes or trying to dribble too much. I think, you know, you have to live with the fact that he's going to make mistakes. But are they mistakes of aggression? Are they mistakes of being lazy? Are they mistakes of being tired, you know, fatigue? You know, those are the things they kind of have to watch out for. But I think you're going to have to live with the fact you're going to have turnovers, especially with Flip Saunders' system. I think they've accepted the fact that as a rookie, teams are going to attack him. Teams are going to try to see what he's made of. They're going to try to put a lot of pressure on him, and they're going to see, you know, if he can handle it. And but turnovers are going to be part of that, you know, and that's just eventually he'll fight through it. It'll always be a problem, but I think that in the long run, you know, it's all about the team turnovers. If Wall has 6 turnovers in a game and the team has 13, then that's not so bad. But if Wall has 2 turnovers and the team has 25, then that's a problem because Flip put the ball in John's hands.
You know, it's interesting talking about Andre Blatch. He had such a great breakout year, and after the Wizards kind of blown up and the season was over, and really kind of showed that he's got a lot of potential. One of the issues that kind of people think about, though, is the fact that he does need the ball, and he tends to be kind of the black hole, where if it goes into Blatch, you know, he's going to be working for a shot there. Kyle Wiedeye of TruthAboutIt.net kind of noted this week that they're seeing some bad patterns with Blatch in terms of the ball stopping when it gets to him. It's interesting, I think, because the rest of the Wizards really do seem to be buying into this concept and kind of working under Wall, and Blatch seems like the kind of guy that could chafe a little bit because I think that he does consider himself to be at that level where he needs to be kind of the go-to guy, and I don't think many people would think that. Can you see anything going on with Blatch that there could be problems with this guy going forward, or do you think that it's just simply a matter of working out the kinks in the offense under Wall?
No, I think that that's something that you're going to have to keep your eye on for the rest of the year, honestly, because last year really was a surprise to everybody. I mean, from the time that I've been, in D.C., or since Black has been around, all of his teammates will talk about the talent and ability that he had and what he could do and putting the ball in the basket and just his skill set. But you never saw him, turn that potential and everything into production. He was always struggling, trying to, figure out what his role was. And whenever the team relied on him, he just could never deliver the way they wanted to. It's like he just kind of cowered whenever there was pressure on him. And I think that last year, once they made all the trades, they thought that he would just kind of be, maybe a 15-7 guy, if they were fortunate. They were happy, would have been pleased with that. But instead they got a guy that averaged 22-8 and, had some monster games and just destroyed Kevin Garnett, in an April game late in the year. And I think that at that point, Andrea started believing, I am putting up all-star numbers, I'm the big stuff. And I think, he's coming back now where things are kind of changing around him. There's a lot more talent around him. And is he going to be able to accept that the team doesn't want him or necessarily need him to be that 22-8 guy anymore, or that there's more talent so he doesn't have to do that? So I think that this is going to be a tough adjustment because Dre, the last time he played, he was the go-to guy. And now he's in a situation where he may be the third option, on those nights. And that's going to be an adjustment because he just got used to being the go-to guy. And the other thing, too, for the Wizards, is that he's their only, real, true low-post player. And I think they want him to get down in close to the basket and take, easier shots. But I think he knows he can hit the jump shot. He can do a lot more things. So I think sometimes he wants to step out and shoot Jays and do things that kind of frustrates Flip and the coaching staff. So it's going to be an adjustment for him. And I think that's just a reasonable question or concern going into the season, is just how is he going to react to being around more talent and being in a role that's going to be different than what he got used to at the end of last year.
How much do you think this team misses Josh Howard right now?
A lot, yeah, a whole lot, because – Flip's been using a three-guard set through the preseason with Kirk Heinrich, who really has been a solid pickup for them throughout the training camp preseason. But not having Josh around, just because just his experience, his knowledge, his the way he fights on the defensive end, and also just the energy that he provides. At least what he did the four games that he played last year. He came out there, and he just had this determination that, this team wasn't going to give up. They were going to compete, and he gave it all every minute he was on the floor. And that they right now, they're searching to try to figure out who's going to be the answer, a small forward. Al Thornton, is expected to be the guy coming into training camp. Kirk Heinrich played so well that Flip couldn't really go that way, and then Al got hurt. Nick Young is still, trying to figure out, how to be effective when he's not putting the ball in the basket and not scoring. So when you got Josh, who surprisingly is the oldest guy on the team at age 30, which is really hard to say, but he's somebody he's used to winning. He's used to playing on teams that are playing for something significant. I mean, in his 7 years or 6.5 years in Dallas, I mean, those teams were considered championship contending teams, at least the last couple years he was there, at least right in the middle of the time there. So he's used to winning, he's used to playing, and they don't really have a lot of players who are used to being on teams that play any games of any importance. So they miss Josh a lot, and I think when he comes back sometime probably in November, I think that, it'll be a very welcome addition, mainly because there just aren't enough guys in the team who have any level of experience, let alone playoffs.
Great. Final question. Do you see this team being able to contend for a playoff spot, or do you think that there's just too many injuries and inconsistencies and too much up in the air right now for them to be able to contend for that spot in the East?
I've been trying to figure that out all year. What is this team? All preseason, what is this team? Is this going to be a lottery team that's going to be lousy and self-destruct, or is it going to be a team that makes that late playoff push? I think for them to be a playoff team, it will really require a best-case scenario for just about everybody. John's got to play, great basketball. Andre's going to have to be, at elite level. Gilbert's going to be back to his all-star level. Josh is going to have to be back to his all-star level. I mean, Kirk's going to be where he was, you know, during the time when the Bulls were playing great basketball. I think you're asking for a lot to really fall in your favor for this team to be a playoff team. So I think, you know, it could go either way. And it's just really tough because there's so many young guys, so many unproven guys, so many unpredictable guys, so many, you know, so it's tough to really say. I think it's going to be one of those situations where you kind of got to wait and see how it plays out. I think anybody who says it's definitely going to happen one way or another really doesn't know. But right now, I'm leaning more towards this being a team that does headed back to the lottery.
We'll have to wait and see. It's going to be interesting no matter what. Michael Lee, Washington Post. You can check his stuff out at thewashingtonpost.com. Michael, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, man, I'm glad you gave me a call.
All right, and we'll see you next time on the CBSSports.com NBA Facts and Rumors podcast. I'm Matt Moore.